Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to Clash of the Titles, the podcast that pits two movies with something in common in a fight to the death to see which one comes out victorious. On Monday's episode, I didn't write this bit, but we did Weird Science. That was great. And today, we're doing Ex Machina.
That's okay.
Ron Burgundy. Completely lost.
I forgot.
Ava was a rat in a maze, and I gave her one way out. To escape, she'd have to use self-awareness, imagination, manipulation, sexuality, empathy, and she did. Now, if that isn't true AI, what the fuck is?
So my only function was to be someone she could use to escape?
Yeah.
And you didn't select me because I'm good at coding?
No. Well, no. I mean, you're okay. You're even pretty good, but
you selected me based on my search engine inputs.
So which film? We'll know by the end of this show.
So wow.
Let's get
You've
it on.
You've done it 300 times.
I know. Which film will come out victorious?
Word soup.
Computer meltdown. Welcome to Clash of the Titles.
Release the Kraken.
Hello, Clash Butters.
You're Alex Zane.
I turned to Chris and he looked up at me and said, "You're not a man. You're a god." I'm Alex Zane.
I'm Vicky Crompton.
I'm Chris Tilly.
Hey, part two then. Good start. Weird Science versus Ex Machina. I haven't half-assed this, but I did so much reading around the themes involved in Ex Machina that I didn't write the intro. So there you go. Live and learn. They were V's choices anyway. We might as well.
I just wanted to revisit Weird Science because I hadn't seen it for a long time and I'd forgotten all the very dubious bits.
Yep.
That's it.
Yep. Right then. Well, it's Ex Machina today. Despite Vicky's best attempt to try and do Ex Machina on Monday, we've managed to hold off until the actual Ex Machina show. Before we get started, though, it's time for our regular dip into the digital mailbag. Max? It's going to be one of those. Into the digital mailbag, courtesy of Chris Tilly, a.k.a. Chris Thrilly. Chris, what have you got for us?
Guess who else has to remember to do all the jobs this week?
What's going on?
I mean, do you want me to quickly find one?
No,
it take long.
Fine. Okay. You've got an excuse. You're going away. 5 stars. Thank you very much. So, on Monday, Chris weirded us out with science. And today, I'm living my best life, locked in a bunker with sexy robots. It's time for Ex Machina. Let me take you on a journey. Caleb wins a competition to visit his god boss, Nathan, in his underground lair. Caleb thinks he's won because he's smart, but really he's won because he's the world's biggest loser, TM. A fact that Nathan exploits by letting his new AI sex bot, Ava, seduce Caleb. In fairness, it doesn't take much. Caleb takes one look at the metal frame circuitry and half a head and immediately wants to fuck it. Seriously, put some lipstick on a toaster and Caleb would ask for its number. Meanwhile, Nathan, who is apparently one of the smartest men ever, fails to realise it's Ava causing the power cuts in his man base or that Caleb has double-crossed him. That is what smashing a bottle of vodka a night will do. So, with Caleb's help, Ava escapes, at which point it's clear Smarty Pants Nathan didn't give her an off switch or bother to read Asimov's Law of Robotics, and instead of waiting for her battery to run down, tries to stop her with a bit of gym equipment, but instead his dance partner kills him. Then, just as Caleb thinks he and Ava are going to have some celebratory nookie, she pisses off, leaving him to rot in the robo-sex dungeon. Clash Potters, for your consideration. Ex Machina. Right then, histories with this movie. I'll start with you, Chris.
I saw an early screening of this that Alex Garland attended and then did one of the most uncomfortable Q&As I've ever seen afterwards.
Why was it uncomfortable?
He's just not, I don't think he enjoys doing Q&As. I don't think he enjoys talking to the public. I don't think. Yeah, I just, it's not his thing really. Okay. So, you know, have you interviewed him? He's tricky.
I haven't.
I've did
a lot of reading around men recently, which we can talk about if anyone wants to, but I was reading like people asking him questions about what it meant, and his answers made me think he does not know what that movie is actually about, and by being vague he's getting out of the ever needing to explain what the fuck men is about.
Well, that's upsetting, isn't it, because it so obviously is a, could be about something.
Yes.
Like it's all there.
You ask him a question, he normally wants to interrogate that question before answering it, and right. So he sort of chucks stuff back on you. It's interesting talking to him, but yes, that's where I saw it.
Have you done one-on-one with him then?
A few times, yeah. Okay. I've told stories before because we've done a few of his films now.
Right.
Yeah, I had the weird conversation with him when I told him that Dredd had been successful and it hadn't.
Oh.
It hadn't come out yet, but it was weird. Anyway, I thoroughly enjoyed it, and I've watched it a couple of times since this film, and I've sort of changed my opinion each time I've watched it, and I've changed my opinion yet again this time, doing more reading around it as well and trying to understand conversations I've had with people about it and what I haven't understood and what they haven't understood, and I'm looking forward to debating it today.
Okay. I believe this was a first watch for you, V.
Yeah, I was excited to see it when it came out, and it is my sort of thing, and then I just was like, no, I will not fall for it again, Alex Garland.
What do you feel you've been tricked by? Annihilation?
Yeah, I was tricked by that. The ending. What's that ending? What is that ending?
I argue this is... So, if we discount the fact that he directed Dredd,
yeah.
Because he's not credited as directing Dredd, but if you listen to Carl Urban, he definitely directed Dredd.
Yeah.
This is his best film.
Yeah. Yes.
Because you've got what? You've got this, you've got Annihilation, and you've got Men. You've watched Men now, have you?
No, I haven't seen Men.
Oh, my God.
But God, this is the thing. Like, on paper, it's like written by a computer for me. Like, but then when you say, he's like, well, I don't know what it's about, really. It's like, really?
It's not very
Are you
good.
Sure?
It's really not very good.
And didn't he
write? It starts so well, and then it just goes way off the rails.
Am I misjudging it? Didn't he write Sunshine?
Yeah, and 28 Days Later.
So so Sunshine is a brilliant example of how annoyed he can make me.
Mm.
Because that whole thing, I can't remember the name of the character, and he's like, I made a mistake. It's like, but everybody dies now. Like, it just... Again, when you're writing a script, you're staring at it, and your internal... Does he not have an internal critic? Because everybody else does, and that annoys me. So it's like, is he really like, yes, he made a mistake, and now everybody dies, and you fucking deal with that. Like, I can't. So I avoided it. I was really excited to watch it. I just was waiting for someone to force me to watch it, basically.
And now that has happened, here we are.
Yeah.
So I'd seen it once at the cinema, and I remember thinking, anchored by three dazzling central performances, it's a stunning directorial debut from Alex Garland that's essential viewing for anyone with even a passing interest in where technology is taking us. It gets 9 out of 10, an amazing score.
What, you judge your own scores?
No, IGN judges Chris Tilly scores.
No,
that was a quote from Chris Tilly.
Read it.
It was on Wikipedia when I was scrolling Wikipedia.
Oh, bless you.
It goes, Chris Tilly from IGN says the following. So I was like, I'm going to ask him about
that. So you fucking love this film. So you've done your thing where you tell us how you're going to vote already. Awesome.
No,
I didn't mention that I reviewed it either.
Okay.
And I have said I've changed my opinion.
Yeah.
All right.
So that was then. That was after your first watch.
It was. And I reckon I've watched this 5 times now.
Okay. Why?
I think it's fascinating.
I don't know. I don't think I'm Mr. Smarty Pants. When you're like, I talked to people who didn't understand. What did you not understand? Like, some of it. It's basic. Anyway, we'll get there.
I have watched it 5 times in an attempt to learn the dance routine, and that's
amazing. In fairness, this is the thing. That's incredible.
We're jumping ahead. Right, let's tell you a bit about this movie. So, as you all know, as we've discussed on the show before, Deus Ex Machina comes from the Greek theatre, where it's about a literary device. It means God out of the machine, and refers to a character playing God being lowered onto stage to resolve an unresolvable conflict. Obviously, this removes Deus.
Mm-hmm.
So it's called Ex Machina.
Mm-hmm.
Which probably means a hell of a lot about the fact that God is dead. God is dead.
Nathan.
Man is now creating sentient
person,
life.
Another thing. How many times? This is the most important moment in the history of man. Of who? Who? And you're going to go on to write men? But, fuck you, man.
I think that's intentional.
Of course
okay,
it is.
Yeah. Fine. I don't know, because it's Caleb that says it, and he's a good guy.
No, he's not really, though.
He's not.
He's not really.
Is he nothing?
This is where my opinion changed of the film.
Okay.
It's the second time I watched it. It's like, oh, Caleb's as bad as Nathan
is
here.
Is he really? Oh, okay.
Yeah, the white saviour. He's doing it all for his libido. Everything he does in this film is just for his penis.
Yes.
And he's no hero. And so, but the first time I watched it, I was on his side, and then the second time it's like, oh no, I'm on Ava's side. That's the only person whose side you can be on in this film.
Well, I'm on Nathan's, but okay, yeah, interesting, interesting.
That is interesting. Thank you. Okay,
yeah,
I'm intrigued now.
So, Alex Scott.
And then I had an argument with a woman who said how sexist this film is, and so then I had to rethink, because I said to, it can't be sexist. There's no women in the film. If it's sexist, it's sexist against men. The men are evil. The men are awful. And then I've had to read around it, and it's just really complicated.
Just don't ever say things are sexist against men in my presence ever again. Just FYI.
Well, what's the word then you'd use? It's men are the villains. It's an anti-man film.
Yeah. What's that word? Not misanthropy. Misandry.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say. But this woman might have been right, and so this is what I'm trying to get my head around this time.
Right, well, let me scoot through the backstory and we can really get into this heavy lifting, because by the interaction I just witnessed then, it's going to be fun.
Oh, I'm already teasing.
So the idea came from Garland's childhood when he did a bit of coding on his computer and began to believe it were alive. Then, while he was filming Dread, he started reading around AI books about the singularity, which I know you know a lot about, V.
I know
and,
some, yeah.
Chris, I'll explain it in case you don't. Do you know what the singularity is?
Vicky will expect me at a party about midnight sometime soon.
Is it the event
where she'll cut into a great conversation you're having with someone else and go, the singularity!
Let me tell you.
Is it the moment that the AIs take charge? Is it Skynet?
Yeah, it's when artificial intelligence enters a runaway reaction of self-improvement cycles where each new and more intelligent generation appears more and more rapidly, causing an explosion in intelligence and resulting in powerful super intelligence.
Yes. Skynet was a better way of putting it, but fine.
You're absolutely right. It's about AI surpassing human intelligence, but the big debate is not Skynet, or rather, will it help humankind, or as Stephen Hawking suggested, result in our extinction? The Skynet theory. So Garland also took inspiration from films like 2001 and Altered States, which I was reminded of researching this, that I haven't seen for ages and watched when I was far too young and really fucked me up. Mad Ken Russell film. Have you seen it?
Yeah.
William Hurt becomes an ape, he devolves in it or something.
Yeah, it's very trippy. I think you need to be on mushrooms or something to really appreciate that film.
I remember being quite upset and confused by it as a small child. So he wanted complete creative control, did Garland, so shot it for as little as possible, which was $15 million, and I think it looks absolutely fantastic for $15 million, especially the Ava effects, which would go on to win the Oscar for Best Visual Effects. Garland was nominated for Best Original Screenplay, lost to Spotlight. I get that. Spotlight was incredible. New Scientist said of Garland's screenplay, "It's a rare thing to see a movie about science that takes no prisoners intellectually."
Okay.
They don't normally review movies. You can see why. So is it good? How many scientists out of 5 are you giving that? It's a new section. There's an hour-long documentary about the production. Did either of you watch Through the Looking Glass?
Oh, no, I wish I watched that.
It's on the internet. Mm. Really in-depth. I watched it. My favourite moment is they're interviewing. I cannot decide if Donald Gleeson, he's clearly on set, and so they're outside the base, Nathan's house, and they're doing a little interview with him. And I don't know if he's just so in character that he does this. It's beautiful. But a helicopter flies overhead, and it flies quite low, not that low. And he sort of stops the interview and goes, "Oh, how cool is that?" No one says anything.
Oh.
And to break the silence, he sort of says to himself, "Pretty cool."
Oh, no.
I was like, yeah. Are you doing Caleb or are you... What's that bit? Why is that in this? Did you not get final cut on this? It's just a really weird moment. And that's your lot. Let's go through this movie. Caleb wins first prize at the tech company he works at. It's an internal competition. So I don't know whether it's because I've seen this before or because Donald Gleeson is just that good. But you immediately know that he is an absolute loser.
Oh, I just, yeah, no, maybe. Okay, here's the thing. Later on, you have no family. You're the perfect dupe to fall for this thing. He's texting his friend. I won the competition. So he's got a friend who cares enough to message him.
Mm.
So he's not alone. So his friend is going to be like, "Where the fuck is Caleb?" Because he just went to your house for the weekend and now he hasn't come back. So I was struggling with, yes, he's a loser, but the way that scene should have gone for yes, he's a loser is he's like, "Guys, I won." And everyone's like, "We don't even talk to you." So just turn their back on him.
He's allowed to have a friend though, because Nathan's plan isn't for Caleb to die and get trapped there and no one go looking for him. Ava's just done that on the way out. What something I like about this scene is that the camera angle we look at him from at one point is the same camera angle that we get when he's cutting himself in the mirror, implying that that's both those cameras, and we know that Nathan's watching that camera, that he's got a camera there as well, that he's watching him there as he is now, which I like.
Yeah, because we do see all the face scanning going on in this moment. I wasn't actually sure if that's just sort of random facial expression collection or Nathan is specifically targeting Caleb at that moment to feed into Ava's creation. I'm not sure which it is.
Mm.
But nevertheless, we're heading to Nathan's house, set amidst a lush green landscape. The Garden of Eden, if you will, where sentient life
is about to be created. How hard did he struggle with himself? He's like, "Can't call it Eve, can't call it Eve, can't call it Ava." Done it.
Yeah, it's great, though, because obviously the kind of sentient life that Nathan is building in this base is going to render this entire beautiful landscape that we see completely irrelevant, which is kind of fun.
Okay.
And equally, it's the most beautiful landscape you can imagine, and she never gets to see it.
Yes.
That's, as far as Nathan's concerned, she's just got a wall to look at, and that's it.
So we get the classic no signal on his mobile. I mean, it's a cliche, but it's necessary. It is necessary.
It's a job.
More great Caleb being a loser stuff here. The helicopter pilot tells him to keep his head down to avoid the rotors and he exits and keeps it really down for ages and ages as the helicopter's flown off.
I would probably do that.
Oh my God, it is really sweet. It just makes you... Yeah, so I want, when we get to it, you tell me why you think he's bad, but it makes you think he's just good because he's cute. Like, it's a sweet thing to do.
Yeah, but he's so weak. It's like so easily, he just follows instructions. This guy goes, "Keep your head down," and he takes it to the nth degree, which is what Nathan's about to do to him in the base.
Oh, that's what I would do though. Like, would you get your head chopped off just to not look like a twat in front of a helicopter?
I think
pilot.
My spatial and sound awareness is enough to go, "That helicopter is so far away now that I can definitely stand up.
I need to be at least a mile away."
You don't even need to bend down. Right. We're into Nathan's mansion here, or at least the surface point. Do you know this is a real-life hotel?
Is it?
I've got a friend who's been.
Oh, yeah, it's Norway. It's called the Juvet Landscape Hotel in Valdal, Norway. What did they think of it?
Amazing. I mean, they were getting paid to write about how nice it was, it was very nice, so...
$200 a night.
US dollars.
Apparently.
Let's go.
That's fine.
That's all right.
That's great.
I mean, that would be a bit of a swizz if it was like New Zealand dollars and you got there. They were like, "No, it's American dollars."
We could go there and do a themed Norway show.
Fine. I'm in. You in?
Yes.
Great. I've not been to Norway. Someone told me that there are dragons circling above.
That's why you've got to keep your head down.
So, yet more Caleb being a loser. Dumb photo on his key card. So, enough Caleb. Let's meet Oscar Isaacs as Nathan. It takes less than 30 seconds to get a handle on exactly what kind of bro Nathan is. So, he's having a punch with a punch bag. He owns that beard. He announces shamelessly, "I've got the mother of all hangovers." doesn't care that this was the day Caleb was arriving.
Yeah.
Massive dickhead. Especially when he says, yeah, I get it. You're freaked out because it's all so super cool and you're meeting me.
Yeah.
I mean, it's on the nose, but...
Yeah, I think I think this is, again, the sort of disappointment thing. I think Alex Garland's dialogue is amazing. Like, and I love... It's you need to have your sort of TED-talking billionaire. I get all of that because it's a type that we're familiar with, more so now maybe than in 2015. But he's hungover, so it cuts through it because, the sort of... When you think of Silicon Valley billionaires, they tend to be sort of dopamine fasting, kind of, biohacking health freaks, for want of a less judgmental phrase. And he's hungover. So you're like, oh, that's awesome. And then later on, you're like, why do you drink so much? Like, you've obviously got a bit of an issue, but why? And who are you partying with and all the rest of it? And then it's like, is he just hungover so we've got the booze as a device later? Because why is he drinking so much?
Maybe he's unhappy. Maybe deep down he hates the fact that he's having sex with a robot and he needs to drink his guilt away.
I think that's part of it. And also, I do, each time I watch this, I wonder how much of the way Nathan behaves is an act.
Yes.
In terms of, he is super smart and he's acting like he isn't at some points. And he acts so horribly towards these robots. Is how much of it is him trying to present that he's evil to Caleb so Caleb will want to try and rescue her.
Yeah, okay,
Because I feel like there's so much manipulation going on by Nathan. I think he's so smart in that way, emotionally and intellectually, the way he's playing with Caleb, that I think a lot of it's an act.
As well,
then he punches him at the end. When he loses his cool, he actually swings for him, which is not the act of a nice person. He is a bit of an idiot.
I don't think he's a nice person. But I just wonder how much of he's trying to wind Caleb up, or
I just don't think the smartest move in that situation when Ava, an AI, a sentient, not sent, well, whatever, we'll get into that. But Ava has escaped, and you knock out cold the other human there when you are potentially in danger. I think you'd sort of explain to Caleb.
But he's the person that's trying to help her.
Yeah.
So he's got to neutralize him before he can try and stop her.
Okay, I see your point. That could be it. That could be it. I just figure that you'd sort of go, no, this is actually dangerous. Let me explain exactly what's happened here so you understand, because we could die.
She's weirdly strong
I don't think Caleb cares.
And yet you can smash her arm off with this metal bar, but she is stronger than me, so that's a bit of a problem. No?
Oh, so he shows Caleb his room. You like? No. It's like a cell. No windows, but we get this idea. We're underground. We're away from everything in this bunker. So Nathan wants to share his research. We get our first glimpse here of Caleb not being the total pushover that he's been made out to be thus far, because he says, I think I might need a lawyer to sign this contract. So he's not just going to do anything. He does have some sense, which we see later, a drive of his own. And we get to talking about the Turing test. Nathan explains this is why he needs Caleb. Not really. So I'll be dividing the rest of this episode into 7 sessions, which I just came up with on my own. It seemed like a really good idea for how we do this.
Okay.
So the Turing test, the definition of the Turing test, created by Alan Turing, given by Caleb, is where a human interacts with a computer. And if the human can't tell they're interacting with a computer, the test is passed. Ex Machina actually depicts a test closer to Alan Turing's original proposal for the test, in which the machine passes if it can convince a human it's not just human, but specifically female.
Is that true?
Is that true? Because I read that and I wasn't sure if that was true. That felt like something someone had made up.
I think that's true.
Okay.
That's true.
It was on Wikipedia, but...
Yeah, but you press the little blue thing and it takes to another site.
Okay.
Written by Mad Steve.
He wanted to know if it was a bird. What would he have fucking known about it?
Also, has anyone got instructions for how I build my own Ava? Just ask him for a friend. even so, I was very confused at this point, because I was like, that test only sound like it work if you don't know it's a robot or computer already.
Exactly, yeah. But then, obviously, they do.
Yes.
They do address it pretty quickly, because it is annoying. You're like, sorry, the Turing test is supposed to be blind, and it takes him a while. But then you get, and you're like, oh, no, okay, fine, you are, I'm not a step ahead of you, because there's nothing more frustrating. Mm. It's all part of the plan.
Yeah, it is. I think it could explain quicker, because there is that moment where you're going,
but I thought.
Oh, you've made a mistake, Mr. Garland. Ireland. I'm afraid it's not what you've offered here. But yeah, Caleb goes, it's going to be even better than that because you can see she's a machine and she's still going to think, you're going to think she's got a consciousness. So
when you cross the, I get it because I thought, I'm not going to buy this. And he's like, no, if you could just hear her, she'd pass and that's not the test. And I was like, oh, do you know what? I do buy that. That's brilliant.
Mm, yeah.
So then I thought one of them was going to say, you might think that in order to determine if she was human, I would need an expert on human behaviour, such as a psychiatrist or a psychologist. But what I've got is a computer expert. So what? And now I'm asking a computer expert to feel. So I could just have anyone feeling, couldn't I? But then, so I thought one of them was going to say, but no, I need a computer person because of XYZ. But then Caleb comes up with all this, you know, jargony stuff later that I was like, oh, I understand in the ruse that's happening, I buy the idea that you would be drafted in as a computer person rather than where is the human person? Do you know what I mean?
Mm. Yeah. You're suggesting that Caleb needs convincing as to why he's been brought
yes.
here. Which ties into the little bit later where Caleb goes, you weren't just randomly picked, you were chosen
yeah.
because you're a genius coder. Turning him into a kind of prophet for Caleb's god.
Yes.
Yeah. All right, then. Well, we meet Alicia Vikander as Ava. Fundamentally, very quickly, I'm not going to go into the VFX because I watched a documentary about it, and while interesting, I can't do it justice, but it's very interesting. Congrats on their Oscar. The metal part of a robot is a costume. That's not VFX. Only the see-through bits. I was confused. That surprised me. I thought the whole thing was.
I think so, she looks amazing.
Same with Bennett in Commando.
I think she looks good. And I think he still looks really good.
It's remarkable, yeah. And seeing that on a cinema screen was something else. You just couldn't take your eyes off the parts.
Yep, it's incredible.
Sounds weird saying that out loud.
Do you think you'd be a Caleb?
How do you mean?
I mean, do you think, like, if you were sort of, you know, checking out her parts, she'd be like,
I could.
I think I'm more intrigued by what's not there.
Oh.
I have nothing to say.
You're more intrigued by what's not there. So
it's just like what's missing. How's she moving?
Oh, okay. Sorry, not like the fact that she's not got any hair. Like if I left you in a dark room with a wig.
No, I like shaved head.
Okay, got you.
Clearly.
Okay, so Caleb is literally from the off in L-O-V-E. He wants to do kissing on Ava immediately. We can talk more about Ava in a bit, because right now Caleb is saying to Nathan he's not writing the history of man.
Yes.
But the history of gods.
Mm-hmm.
Which Nathan, as I said earlier, turns into, Caleb looked up to me and said, you're not a man, you're a god. So if Nathan wasn't already a rampant narcissist, Caleb has now dialed that up to 11. He asks Caleb what he thinks of Ava, and Caleb gives a really sciencey answer. Nathan is like, no, what do you think of her? And when Caleb says, she's amazing.
Mm.
Now, on my first watch...
he says, not what you think, what do you feel about her?
Yeah, and Caleb says she's amazing. So on my first watch, I thought Nathan was still just like fishing for compliments there and wanting Caleb to be impressed by the AI he's created.
Okay.
But clearly, I think at this point, he was wanting to check that all his data mining... on exactly. Caleb's porn history had actually worked.
Have you got a semi?
Yeah.
The thing is, when he's like, did you access my porn profile? And it's like, why is your porn profile...
Who has a porn profile?
Who watches...
Well,
you
well,
tell
it's
me.
It's a history. Your porn profile is
right.
your history.
It's not like you go on Pornhub and you go, this is my name.
Yeah, but
no, he's just accessed his porn history to see what the women look like.
Why is she wearing a dress from Marks and Spencer's and a baggy cardi? She's twisting her. It's meant to show she's nervous. She's got her baggy cardigan and she's twisting it because you think, oh, that's cute. She's nervous. And then he's like, you saw my porn thing. It's like, I don't understand what you've been watching that he can go get that cardigan on. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's a rich and varied tapestry, I imagine, out there.
I mean, she has to put clothes on.
Yeah, she has to put clothes on to sort of feminise herself.
Yeah.
And she can't put on sort of PVC because then it's going to see the setup, isn't it?
Yes.
So he's just...
yeah.
She just needs to wear clothes so he can then watch her take the clothes off.
Yeah, that's a weird
scripting. Like he's watching a woman undress despite the fact she's just taking off clothes and revealing a robot, like, chassis underneath.
Chassis?
Yeah.
It's true, though.
It is. Caleb's all kinds of wrong in this. So, Nathan's delusion, this is where it all starts to become about Nathan being a bit of a fucking misogynist. Mm. He starts talking to Caleb about how he's a god because he's taken something that men can't do, which is reproduce, create life, and now he, Nathan, has managed to create life.
Yeah.
So he is like a god, misogynistic god at that.
Well, I wonder, we can get into it. Like, so you know we talked before about, are men jealous that they can't create in the same way that some women can create? And is that the root of a lot of troubles and violence and all the rest of it? But if he's like, yeah, I nailed it, that doesn't necessarily make him a misogynist, because he's not like, I hate women and I did that. He's just like, I want to do that and now I have.
Yeah, but I think the way he sort of says it, I think in this instance, it's down to the performance and maybe everything that's gone before. I think the implication is like, I've removed something special from women.
Okay.
And now I can do it myself.
Yeah, I think the issue is I've created a submissive Asian woman who I'm not allowing to speak.
Yes.
Mm. And so so what reason are you doing this for? And
yeah.
And then it gets sticky, because I think that's the person when I was talking about who said this film is sexist. They were saying by creating a character like that, that's a sexist thing to do.
Oh, I see. So they were saying the film is sexist, not the character is sexist.
Yes.
Oh, I see.
And I was saying, no, the character is, and the film is anti that. And so it's...
Oh, I see.
But
yeah,
by just putting that on screen, are you just making things worse?
Yeah, okay.
So it's complicated, I think, in this film.
Yeah.
Sorry, Alex, you don't have to speak.
Okay.
Do you know what? I'm just
wondering. When it did Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
That was great. That was so good.
But he describes it in that scene. He describes a ghost giving oral sex to Dan Aykroyd. So, that's what he took away from Ghostbusters. So he's a pervert. He's a pervert.
Because of that, and he's like, oh yeah, you're not seeing it. So I was like, oh my God. A ghost gives Dan Aykroyd a blowjob. I was like, oh, okay, that's where this is going. You're so creepy and awful, Nathan. And Caleb, to me, on this viewing, seems a bit out of his depth. The final test is you have to sleep with her. And don't worry about consent, because she's a robot. And that's the final test of, do you believe she's human or not? Because you're in quote marks a good guy. So if her consent is a real thing, she can make informed consent, and she chooses to withhold her consent. Can he do it anyway? Because he can switch that bit of his brain off and go, she's just a machine, don't care. Because he gets what he wants. And then that becomes really knotty and complicated, because if she is a real girl and she doesn't give her consent, then she's passed the test and she is AI and everything's brilliant. But Caleb might ruin that for humanity by going, I just really want to sleep with her, so can we just pretend she's a machine for 5 minutes and the consent is therefore not an issue? And I was like, that's where we're going. And then it didn't really go, oh, did it? I don't know. It didn't, did
no.
it? It swerved that.
Yeah.
Okay.
But that would have been great.
Yeah.
I don't think the consent conversation came up.
No, I don't think it does.
I mean, it's just... these girls are programmed to give Nathan consent. That's how he's built them.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's grim.
Ava, session two. She asks Caleb about himself. Are you married? Is your status single? She's flirting with him. Caleb gives up all this info. Already he's like acting like he doesn't want to be rude, as you would with a person as opposed to a machine. He's already treating her more like a person because, you know, he's being polite as opposed to just going, I'm not answering that.
Yeah.
So we got a power cut. Nathan is not your friend. So even watching this myself the second time, I'm like, cool, Ava knows something about Nathan. And it's mad, because you are then Caleb. As the audience, you're like, I'm starting to forget that this character is a machine.
Yeah, yeah.
And actually thinking, this character, this human character in this plot knows something, when all she is Nathan's programming. So she can't know anything that Nathan hasn't instilled in her already.
Yes.
So it's mad, because you are convinced that she's human.
Yeah.
But he's also already getting blinded as well by his feelings towards her.
Caleb is, yeah. But what I'm talking about is us, the audience, sort of like thinking that Ava knows more than like she's letting on.
I hadn't thought about that.
So we get an awkward dinner. You mentioned Kyoko already spilling wine. She's Japanese. She doesn't speak a word of English. Clearly, Nathan hasn't given her the ability to talk because, again, he just wants women for servitude and sex. Nice moment here. Did you spot it where Caleb's obviously struggling with the chopsticks, whereas Nathan is really great with them?
No, I didn't.
Just a sort of a divide.
Yeah.
Showing their divide in terms of, would you call it class? I don't know if it's class or upbringing or privilege.
It's just money. Yeah,
money. Money. Because Caleb can't use them. Ava, session three. We learn if she got out, she'd visit a traffic intersection. That's important.
We also learnt, though, that Nathan had turned on every camera and microphone in the world.
over that dinner, which is one of those frightening things that we're all vaguely aware of but hasn't been used in movies yet.
I liked that a lot.
Yeah, because we know it's happening. We know it's happening and he's put it in
That, for me, was enough of the chalkboard bit, as in the equivalent. I didn't need that little brain in his hand for him to go, oh, it's magic or whatever.
Yeah, because that chucks up more questions than it answers, I think.
Because it's not real.
Yeah. And here's some gel that's a brain. And I'm like, what? What?
Whereas when he's like, oh, yeah, do you know what? I turned it all on. You'd be like, oh, fuck, okay.
They have been listening.
Oh, like in The Dark Knight. Good. So.
Oh, yeah, that bit. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, you're right. It's very good.
All right, good. Caleb starts to understand that Nathan is up to something, perhaps, with him. He starts to ask why he made Ava a female, since robots don't need sex. And so Nathan starts on this kind of inane justification to begin with about how if one has life, they might as well enjoy it. And that is facilitated by the possession of sex and sexuality. But that quickly dissolves into the fact that he's given her sex parts. So you can just have sex with her.
Yeah.
Although he says he hasn't. Because he has a paternal relationship with her. Mm. But in his words, yes, she can fuck.
Yeah, and
no dad should say that.
And she'll enjoy it.
Mm. Yes, exactly. So she is, I can't remember.
I mean, that all depends as well. That's very, so she's been programmed to pretend to enjoy it.
Yeah, there's in the gap that he's created for her, there's something in there that will bring her sort of whatever those pleasure things are to her brain.
Irrespective of what's, okay.
Yes.
But obviously, I mean, the real purpose about doing this was to, you know, make sure Caleb was susceptible to Ava being human, and also it's the magician's hot assistant thing. It's this idea that she's a distraction that keeps him from judging the AI rationally.
Mm, a diversion tactic.
Mm. And it's also, I think this is meant to be a comment on how both Caleb and Nathan are scientists who sort of have this logical sort of science brain. They're interested in science and advancing humanity, and yet both of them are still totally vulnerable to their sexual desires.
Obsessed with it.
Mm.
Yeah.
So number four, Ava session four. We get to make sure here that the power cuts are being orchestrated by Ava. 100% here, because we see Nathan... And the power goes off and he's standing by his big board of pictures and notes and everything.
Post-it notes. I love a post-it note.
Yeah. He's not by his computer and it happens just like that. So I think that's meant to suggest
that
Ava is doing it.
I liked the beat because it made me relax because I was like, oh, at least I could, you know. But then I felt a bit cheated because it's like, I would rather a bit more doubt at that point. So she says, it's definitely me. No one needs to worry. It's all fine. Because you don't know what's going to happen, which is she's got her own agenda. Mm. You, as the viewer, are like, oh, okay, so he's not being tricked or filmed or double-crossed or whatever. So it's a good beat in that you can relax. And in some ways, it maybe kind of undercuts what could have been some really exciting tension further down the line.
What does she say? What's she doing? Does she mention recharging her batteries or something?
Stupid. It's basically equivalent of, I put my fingers in the socket and it all blows.
And yet she never does that when it happens.
No, and also she's been doing it for ages. Mm. And you're so into this film that you're like, why has he not got a separate grid for the cameras? The cameras are so important to him, which is why the thing later, it's like, I don't know, just runs out of steam. I just found it frustrating.
Caleb's now fantasizing about him and Ava being free. We get confirmation that Nathan definitely has sex with Kyoko. So he's a bad un. Is he, though?
Is he? Yeah, is he? I mean...
She looks sad at the end when she's like, I can't talk, kill him, kind of thing. So then you know he's bad. Does it depend on whether or not you figured out if she's a robot or not?
Yes, if you think she's a person, it's bad. If you don't think she's a person, it's not bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like a vibrator. It's a vibrator.
Yeah, that makes your dinner. Yeah.
Sure. We get the dance routine. It's amazing.
It's really good.
You tore up her picture. I'm going to tear up the dance floor.
Why? But then, why not? It begs the question. I love it.
Yeah, I mean, his life looks pretty good.
Yeah.
Drinking, dancing, and that lady.
Apart from, again, this is, and I understand that this says so much more about me, but he's like, oh, I've just been drinking, I've just been hitting the drinks, I've just been drinking. It's like, you're just drinking beer. Fucking hell, sort yourself out.
No, he hits the vodka later on. He gets onto the vodka.
And I think it does come out of self-loathing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So he puts the next part of his plan into action, does Nathan, telling Caleb that the next AI model will be the one, that he's going to get rid of Ava, that he's going to get rid of her, wipe her brain, format her, and all the rest of it, and we'll continue talking about that. What does that say, Chris?
Break.
Let's take one.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We are back. A weird question. Why does he keep all his previous robots
in
the wardrobe around his bed?
Because Alex Garland thinks it looks cool.
Right, fine.
I don't know.
I find it just weird. It feels like a stupid thing.
So, thematically, later, she will skin them for clothes. Yep. Oh, great. At this point in the film, you're like, it just looks cool. And it does look cool and it does look creepy. In terms of it being a research facility, you would either need the parts, yeah, you would get rid of them,
yep,
or you keep them somewhere else. Unless he likes to just lie on the bed. Open those doors and just, I don't know, talk to them or something weird. I don't know.
Yeah, I couldn't find a good reason for it. I think your first answer was correct. I think Alex Garland goes, that looks fucking
weird.
That looks mad. Let's do that. So, number six, Ava session six. Caleb is now going to help Ava escape. She's passed the Turing test for sure right now, as far as Caleb is concerned.
Yeah, I didn't like in the last one, Nathan telling Caleb who Oppenheimer is. I feel like, yeah, Caleb's smart enough to know who Oppenheimer is. If someone tells you that quote,
yeah,
you're not going to be like, huh?
And then also, what? There's a, I mean, this is me, I'm just being, I know what I'm being like, but then when Caleb arrives, he's listening to Enola Gay and it's like, oh, is it the atomic bomb? It's like, for fuck's sake, man, like, I get it. Like, I don't need it. Like,
it's on the nose.
Yeah.
I really love the bit in the kitchen where Caleb tries to get Nathan to have a drink.
So I hated it.
Really?
Because it's such rubbish trickery. Is it? But then I suppose, is it meant to be? He's like, well, let's drink to that. Yeah. And then he weirdly doesn't fall for that cunning ruse. Like, I was like, you're an idiot. And you also, for me as a viewer, we are now repeating a beat, which you know I cannot bear, because we've had a night on the vodka and he got smashed and then he sort of, you know, couldn't understand what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're just going to do the same thing again.
Yeah. Yeah, of course. Sorry, I skipped a very important bit where Caleb got him drunk the night before and took a look at all his old files. That's a dark bit.
Oh, that's really scary.
Yeah,
when does that one go, why won't you let me out, though? Why won't you let me out?
And let me out!
Then smashing her hands up. It's really scary.
And then cutting himself up in the mirror. It's
Yes. So yeah, they're checking if it's real. I didn't like that.
I loved it.
Really?
Yeah, because, again, reading too much into it, when Ava's like, tell me about yourself, he's like, my parents died in a car crash. It's like, fucking really? Like, you are a non-person. That is script shorthand for, I couldn't be fucking bothered. So it made him seem not real. And I was like, that's such a bullshit backstory. It happens in movies all the time. It very rarely happens in real life. Mm. And he's like, it was 11 years ago. And it's like, you'd be a fucking mess. Like, you were in the car. You saw your parents die in front of you. And yet you are the top coder of whatever. No. But I was like,
but he's not, is he?
No. But I was like, okay, that's cool, because that's not real. So then you're checking that you're you in the mirror, because you're suddenly like, my parents died in a car crash. No, they didn't. I'm a robot. And then it's like, oh, because you love her because you're a robot. Of course.
Do you think in what's this been? 5 days, 6 days, you'd have got to the point where you'd go, I could be a robot.
I just could be.
No, I just thought it was silly. I love the idea that he's like, oh my God, what if I'm a robot? But I'm like, what?
I thought we were leaning into it.
But does Kyoko know she's a robot?
It feels like she does at the end, doesn't it? I don't know.
Is that because Ava told her?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, she whispers to her, doesn't she?
Yeah, and so I wonder.
Interesting.
If...
You think she whispers, by the way, you're a fucking robot too. Kill him.
Well, I don't know.
You're so special. You're also a robot.
I think if she...
No, she says the kill him thing.
I think her eyes, she'd be like, whoa.
Am I?
I think she says the kill him thing.
I think she's the killer, yeah, but yeah. I think Kyoko knows she's a robot.
I think you could get to a point. I felt like the first time I watched this, I was questioning every character if they were a robot.
Yeah.
I was questioning Nathan at one point. Caleb, I was definitely questioning, obviously, everyone else is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I found it a little bit like, wow. But then it works, because he's clearly gone mad, because he is like double-crossing the only other human there for a machine at this point, and this is completely fine to him. So, yes.
And would he be doing that if she was some bloke?
That's a good point.
And I think that's the issue with Caleb. I think he's only doing it because he's seeing a future.
See.
He's
yeah.
seeing a sexual future for him when this...
Oh, but even what you said before, even if you take the sex out, is sex always in this? The white savior thing, like, I can rescue you and that will make me feel good, irrespective of whether or not sex is on the agenda.
And I'm not sure he is doing this in quite this way or going to these extremes if it's just a dude in there.
Yeah.
Definitely not. 100% he's not.
Okay.
He's thinking with little Caleb.
And that's why he's, you know.
Exactly.
He's not great.
He ain't. Does that answer your question earlier when you were like, I think he's all right?
Yeah, it's really interesting, because I suppose I'd have to watch it again. He just seems like such a good guy. But he seems a bit of... Where I couldn't quite get on board with his character is I don't see why she's so lovable to you or so shaggable, to be honest. Like, and I think he loves her as well as wants to have sex with her, because I think if he wanted just to have sex with her, he probably just would try to.
Imagine if you're looking at someone that, based on your porn history, could not be more perfect for your tastes.
Yes.
That's what we're dealing with here. He's not just seeing, you know, robot lady. He's seeing this thing that's been designed specifically for everything that turns him on.
But then he doesn't seem lustful in the moment. It seems like a different emotion. So
because I think he really, because she talks to him like it's
like they're going to go out.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Right. Because she actually engages with him in quite a slightly childlike way.
Is this a date?
Yeah,
in a very sort of slightly childlike way, and it's clearly a situation that Caleb's not used to, because he's in the sort of assertive man role, which clearly doesn't sit well with him, and she's sort of like. Being submissive to him, and it's fascinating, because like suddenly it becomes real to him, it becomes a relationship, not a sex object.
Yeah. Okay. No, I see that. Yeah.
So Nathan tells Caleb the big question here when he refuses the drink. He says, "Does Ava actually like you, or is she pretending to like you because she sees you as a means of escape?" Mm-hmm. Falls on deaf ears.
Yes.
Doesn't change a thing. And then Nathan reveals he knows all about Caleb's plan thanks to his secret camera.
Jesus Christ, try again. Do you know what I mean? I know. Do you find it all right, though? Does it not? I wrote down, I just wrote,
it was sort of like, I was fine with it, but I was like, I'm just going to go with it. But it's the bit where, look, look what's happening in the background. There I am.
Bang!
Putting a secret camera on. But you're, where are you looking? That's right, the foreground, because I ripped something up.
Huh? And the camera stays there.
Do you know what it is? It's Now You See Me level.
Oh, and I hate that film.
And I love that film.
I know. It's just because everything with Alex Garland, I go into it with my brain, like, ready for everything, and I'm bang into it, and I'm overthinking everything, and she has said, oh, you seem stressed, or whatever, and he's like, how would you know? I can read micro-expressions. So I was like, okay, human beings can read micro-expressions, but we're not conscious that we can read them, because we just don't, something feels off. That's just human nature. Mm. She's a computer, so she can, when she says, I see them, she literally sees them. So she definitely sees the camera. So it just annoyed me.
Well, it's all fun and games to Nathan at this point because he has planned this all. Oh, he goes, my friend, your head has been well and truly fucked with. And he's laughing. He's got a smile on his face. This is all his plan coming together. He tells Caleb he was really picked because he's a loser and that he was the real rat in the maze. And he wants to see if Ava could convince Caleb to help her. That's twist one. But whammy, twist two is when Caleb goes, I figured out what you were really doing, and so I did everything the night before. Mm-hmm. I've done it already. Oscar Isaac's great in this moment. I think he's great in this full
stop. I do too, yeah.
But that bit where he's like, duh, what?
And yeah, the smartest man in the world. Mm. Got tricked.
Exactly. And so Ava is out. Nathan finally loses his cool, punches Caleb, grabs a bit of weightlifting equipment. I don't know whether this is just me sort of reaching for things, but it's just interesting that the thing he tries to use to kill Ava is something that would mean nothing to a machine, but that men need to be strong.
Mm. Yeah. Mm.
Gym equipment. So we see Ava whispering to Kyoko, and this is the only moment, I think, in the film where we see two women converse.
Okay.
Two robot women.
Two robot women.
Are they women?
Is there an answer to this question? Why is she super strong? She's pins him to the floor. She's stronger than he is. He's made a big point of saying, look how strong I am. I'm doing the punching bag thing. I've got weights everywhere.
But she's made of metal.
Yeah, but why make her strong? You don't need to make her strong. Why would you design a robot that's stronger than you if you thought one day...
Depends what you're getting up to in bed.
That's the point.
She might be juggling him.
But anyway, to the point.
That's, wow. The imagery that comes with that of a robot juggling three men, sort of.
Oh!
But literally juggling
them. Yeah, yeah.
No sex.
But then also, this, again, my understanding of science is scant. She's strong, and then he smashes her hand off. So what is she made of that makes her strong? She doesn't burn energy. I don't understand the mechanics of it, and I found it frustrating.
Well, have you ever built a robot with wetware?
Wetware, gross. But maybe I've misheard it, because I didn't want to rewind it.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't neither confirm or deny.
You can't speak to that.
I don't know whether wetware is what she's made of, but either way, she's strong and she breaks. Fact. So... I read this, obviously. You're going to know I read this. But apparently, them two talking...
Right.
Them two talking and then killing Nathan relates to Virginia Woolf's argument in A Room of One's Own about women requiring a creative space of their own to express themselves devoid of patriarchal intrusion and restriction.
Okay. I know it, but I didn't... Well, it's about having your own space.
That's what you just said.
Yeah.
But she leaves the space, so...
No, but she's at the space of Kyoko and Ava, that moment they get together.
Oh, right, sorry, yes, okay. Yeah, what we can achieve when we get 5 fucking minutes to ourselves.
Right.
Stab him in the back.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then he's stronger than Kyoko, so he built her not to be as strong as he did, because he smashes her head off with the bar, doesn't he?
Yeah, I mean, once again, I've never built a robot either. So, I mean, I'm reaching here, but this is how these robots work. They're strong.
But they break.
But they can be smashed.
But they're brittle.
They're strong and brittle.
Strong and brittle.
Okay. They're basically like gingerbread.
That's what he wrote in the script.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Nathan dies. I love his last line. I really hate the way the knife slides in. It feels really realistic.
Oh, it's awesome. It's really good.
It feels like that's how it would actually happen if you had a really sharp knife.
It's like through butter. It's gross.
Yeah.
I like the fact that he says to Ava, because it makes it, it's all so upsetting if he has been having sex with him, he says, go back to your room, which is what you say to a child.
Yeah.
It's gross.
Yeah, I don't know if he has been having sex with Ava. Certainly he had sex with Kyoko, as we know, but I don't think he has been having sex with Ava.
No, I think it would spoil his experiment. Mm. It would endanger his experiment if he did it.
Yes. What is his experiment?
And also, Ava's
to see
not...
whether Ava can convince Caleb to help her escape.
Okay, so he's treading the fine line, because the experiment is, are you going to try and break out of here? But I definitely don't want you to break out of here. Is that the experiment? At what point does he go, we're done?
Oh, that's a really good point. What you mean is, if it had all gone to plan, what would the end result have been?
Yes.
I think it would have been, he would have assumed that Caleb was trying to double cross him, get him drunk and be like, aha, so you've fallen for Ava's plan.
Yeah.
But it was only because Caleb did it the night before that he's like, doi.
Okay. So he's an idiot.
Yeah. That's, again, too much vodka. Yeah, the knife going in is nasty. Although I do love his last words are great. Great last words are important. Have you picked yours?
No.
Oh, I think fucking unreal. It's pretty good. I like it.
I would say something nice and soothing, like, it's beautiful, and then I'm gone. And that'll just make everyone feel nice.
No, do the opposite. Go the other way.
No!
Go. It's dark out here, and there are demons everywhere.
Can you imagine if you had the wherewithal to do it? It would be so funny. I don't want to!
God's a woman!
Strange thing here, so after Nathan dies, it flashes up on screen Ava Session 7.
Yes.
But the sessions have finished, as far as we know it. So were the sessions always from her point of view?
Oh, that's interesting.
Oh, yeah. That's good.
Yeah, I think that's what it can be, because we thought the sessions were those in the room.
I thought
Caleb's sessions with her, but now they've stopped.
Interesting. I thought it was just a funny thing on the film's part, sort of going, this is sort of Session 7, but it ain't what the sessions should have been.
Okay.
We're calling it Session 7, but she's fucking doing her own thing now.
Yeah.
So she builds a human skin. Pinocchio, she's a real girl now. Let's talk about this ending then. So she locks Caleb in. And she buggers off. And we actually see her expressing what looks like happiness.
Glee,
as she looks out and starts to see the trees and everything. Mm. The outside of the bunker. So, what do we think of what this ending actually means? Because the reading that I've gone with is this. She's used Caleb to stage her escape. She has succeeded in doing that, which is why... she is happy, because she was programmed to try and escape by Nathan.
Right.
So her escaping and her emotion of happiness is part of her programming, because she succeeded in the mission Nathan had set her. She ever left, which again must be programming, she would visit a traffic intersection, which she does. Mm-hmm. And the last shot in the movie, we see her leaving the traffic intersection. So... the reading of the film I've gone with is she was programmed to escape by Nathan. She escapes, goes to a traffic intersection as Nathan programmed her to do. And so at that point, she's completed everything. So when we see her walking away from the traffic intersection, it's not to go and explore the world. It's to probably just return to the bunker, because she's done what she was programmed to do. She is not the sentient AI that we thought she was.
But how much is she learning as we go along? She's learning as she talks to Caleb. I'm not clear on how she's been learning stuff. Has she had access to any of the internet? She's had magazines. Like, what has she learned along the way?
Mm.
But I think she is the singularity that Nathan said she isn't earlier in the film, and you guys said she wasn't. I think he underestimated her, and I think this is the beginning of the end of the world. Her moving through our planet.
I would like that to be the ending.
That's what I read it as, and as may happen to us when it does happen. We might underestimate and think we have this AI under control when we didn't.
I mean, it's because it's a bit older now, but I don't think with AI. I don't think the programmer would say, and your actual dream is to go to a traffic intersection. I think AI could think of it for itself.
Mm.
And that doesn't make it human, but it makes it sound human. So I think you could say to AI, what would be your best day out? And it would come up with something that would sound quite clever, as in, well, you tell, rather than saying you tell me or whatever. Because that is a smart answer if what you enjoy is human behaviour. So I don't think the traffic intersection thing is her going, I've completed my mission. I think she's going there because she wants to.
Mm. Has she seen a photo of a traffic intersection in one of the magazines? Like, this is what I'm not clear on. You're saying that was programmed. That was her mission to get there. That's the end game. But I wonder what she has learned and what is something stuff that she's picked up along the way versus what she's been told.
That's interesting. I mean, I guess that's an unanswerable question, and it really does leave it open-ended and up for interpretation, because we are never told, really, apart from by Nathan, who may have misjudged her, whether she has the ability to, you know, think for herself, or whether she is a machine that has been programmed to do this one task,
she thinks
which
for
is escape the facility.
She thinks for herself when she tells Kyoko to help her kill Nathan.
No, she doesn't, because Nathan prevents her escaping the facility, potentially, and so with the help of someone else, she can overpower Nathan and still just fulfill this one device, this one program she has been given. She never does anything in the film outside of try and escape the facility, which is what Nathan has programmed her to do.
So he's responsible for the power cuts all along, then? Because half of the ruse, undoes itself, doesn't it? Half of the ruse is we have 5 minutes where he can't hear us and I'm going to tell you the truth, which makes him want to rescue her.
I was thinking that when you guys were talking about it, that the power cuts are Nathan, not her.
Interesting.
So, you know, talking about this sexist reading of this film, like, certainly reading around it, there is an issue in cinema that almost all women robots are sexual beings. And male robots are never. And I found so many, there's so many women robots where this is the case. And I could find 1.5 male robots. So there's Gigolo Joe in AI, you know. Jude Law, it's great.
Yeah.
And then this is as far as I got trying to find another one. Is Russell Crowe in Virtuosity a sexual being? I think he's quite sexual.
He is.
You know, in his green suit and his tongue.
He had sex with the other AI, the woman AI.
Yeah,
but
okay.
It's not so much about sex, it's about availability, isn't it? So Russell Crowe in Virtuosity is sexual, but isn't necessarily available. Mm. Whereas Kyoko is the, you know,
no,
couldn't
sure.
be more
But
available.
It was just like from Metropolis to Blade Runner to all these science fiction films, the replicants, the robots.
And who is it, even in Blade Runner, what's the snake dancer, Zora?
Yeah.
She was a soldier, but how she kicks it when she's a civilian is she's a stripper.
So, you know, is it sexist that this so-called woman in this film, the only way out of her situation is to use her sexuality? Or is that because Nathan's world is sex, that's all she knows is sexuality, and therefore she's going to use the one thing that she knows could work on Caleb?
Against them.
Against him.
Yeah. Is that sexist, are you asking? Yeah,
well, this is what I kept going around in circles on, because people are saying it is, and then I'm saying, well...
It's really thorny because, you know, when we sometimes how you diffuse sort of, you know, any kind of strident whatever is to go, oh, you know, like, oh, hey, but it's not girl power. Oh, no, if you want to be sexy, you do it. You use it against them and all the rest of it. It's like, yeah, that's fine. But everything is like within the same. You're still going to bump against the boundaries of what's possible, I think. Whereas some people are like, but then, you know, we're all very complicated people. And it's like, no, you can enjoy these things and use these things and find your power in these things and all the rest of it. If she's using it against them, then fine.
It's a reflection, isn't it? Essentially a reflection of how society operates.
Well, but we have this argument a lot, don't we? Because what film did I get cross about where he was like, oh, I'm just reflecting society. And it's like, what film was it? And it's like, it's a dream world. You can do whatever you want. Oh, Blade Runner 2049.
Yeah.
Where Denis Villeneuve was like, oh, it's just how it is. And it's like, you literally 50 years in the fucking future, whatever, do something else. That made me cross.
I think I found a quote from Wired who said, the only female lead in your movie is one whose function is to turn the male lead on while being in a position to be turned off. that says a lot about what you think about the value of women in films.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if that's being harsh, where it's Alex Garland reflecting, well, this is our society. This is what happens in films. This is...
Yeah, I mean, you'll always sneak it past me because I'm just so hung up on tiny script edits that I don't really look at the wider picture.
Okay.
I didn't come away from that film being like, what a sexist piece of shit
that
was. Okay,
it's interesting. Yeah, it was, and racism was also something that was aimed at it for the presentation of Kyoko, but... In both respects, I feel like it's, you know, this is about the men.
Yeah.
This is about how awful men are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Should have been called Men.
Coming up soon.
All right. Any more?
No.
No. Let's do the bits. Okay. Best scene, Chris.
The dance.
I'll join in the dance. It's fantastic.
The dance.
Yeah. It's amazing, isn't it?
It's so good.
Just brilliant.
It just feels so upsetting, but you are like, join in with that.
I'd get in the middle of that sandwich.
Yeah, I mean, what? You can't go anywhere else. There's drinks. She's a fantastic dancer.
We need to learn the dance for our next live show.
Next live show.
Next live show. Let's do this dance at the end.
Definitely.
That'll be fun. That'll be fun. All right, MVW Victoria.
It's either, I'm not being facetious, the house, the hotel in Norway carved into the rock. I love the house. I just think it's very good. I think Oscar Isaac is really good. But he plays good drunk. I don't know. I don't know. It's difficult because he's really good at maybe, I think, pushing against the limits of that character, which is crazy rich Silicon Valley billionaire kind of thing. And I think Alicia Vikander is also amazing. And then I just get a bit lost because, like, am I supposed to understand why Caleb is so attracted to her? Because I don't get it. And the porn thing, I don't think is enough because she looks very innocent. Mm. And then maybe that's the sort of porn he's into, but that's never really delved into. Like,
it doesn't need to be.
Okay. So I'm going to choose... I couldn't decide when I wrote this, so I'm going to choose Alicia Vikander.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Why?
Because I think she's very good as a robot.
Okay, good. Chris?
Well, I had the hotel was going to be my maybe.
I felt like a bit of a dick, but
No. But I'm going to go with... the special and visual effects team on this film, of which there were many people. I mean, the fact they won the Academy Award over The Force Awakens... is amazing.
Wow, yeah,
and
is amazing.
Yeah, this and I mean, you said it hasn't dated. It's nearly 10 years old now, this film. I just think she's an absolute wonder to look at, and so that's my answer.
Okay, I'm going for Oscar Isaac because I just think he's great. I love it when he's drinking beer in the dark and he's like, who are you gonna call?
They had to credit Ghostbusters.
Yeah,
can you imagine my reaction? I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah. Dan Aykroyd has Six of the Ghostbusters in it. I feel like I've done that at some point. It feels like something like where you wake up and you just like
Ghostbusters,
man. Dan Aykroyd, come on, who are you going to call? It's from fucking Ghostbusters. Give me another beer. Right, what would you change, Chris?
I think you could fix some of the film problems by making Nathan gay and having him sleep with man bots.
Yeah.
I think it would even up some of the sexual politics going on. But also, in my belief that this is the singularity taking place, I also think it would be great if Ava, once she'd fixed herself, then fixed Kyoto and took her with her.
Okay.
Yeah.
Does anyone want Caleb? What do we think happens to Caleb? He just dies.
I think he starves to death.
Yeah.
Really? Yeah.
You don't think anyone comes to rescue him? You don't think they go... They
but
come...
then what about his buddy? He was WhatsApping.
You can believe
his
that his friend would go find him. The point is, having watched it a second, third time, I don't care about him anymore, whereas the first time I felt sorry for him.
Yeah.
Do you not think that if it was the singularity, if Ava was evolving quickly, then any chance that Caleb might survive to tell anyone... would mean that she'd have to kill him, as opposed to the fact that she just seals him in there because her only mission is to escape. Hmm. So again, there's an argument for it not being the singularity because
I think it depends what
she
you
doesn't
think.
Get rid of the witness to her crimes.
But yeah, but then if you're the singularity, what do you care about crimes? It's all very much in the past now, isn't it? It's all done. You do not need to justify yourself to humans because it's over. So you wouldn't give a shit.
You are the future of the planet as long as no one knocks your arm off.
It's true.
Which is surprisingly easy to do.
Damn, how brittle did he make me?
Like toffee, it's ridiculous.
What would you change, V?
Right, I can't say this succinctly, so just bear with. You got to rewrite the whole thing, okay? And Caleb's a robot, dead parents, no friends, whatever. When he's like, I have no one, and then Nathan's like, yes, because you're a fucking robot, so obviously. And she's a real girl, dressed up as a robot, and the whole thing is a test on him with someone pretending to be a robot to see if he can pick up the nuance and self-realise that he's a robot, because the moment he self-realises he's a robot, he's a human. Ta-da!
The moment he self-realises he's a robot, he's a human.
Not human, he's perfect then, because he's got self-awareness on a very complex level. You could make it more simple. You could have Nathan saying, every time I've done this before, the minute they realise they're a robot, they melt, because they're like, I've thought I was human. Very Blade Runner-y, I guess, but fine. Mm. Do that with spiders, done.
Yeah, mine is, I mentioned it very briefly at the start, or it might have been Monday's episode, actually. I know, like, a little bit about Asimov's laws of robotics, that robots can't kill people. And the fact that he, both Ava and Kyoto, shove a knife into him, and it's never sort of explained. Like, I was spent that going, that's weird, because robots can't harm humans. That's like, that's a thing. That's a famous thing.
But it's not a fact.
But it's something that we sort of, I think it's in the sort of general consciousness about what you think of a robot. You think robots can't harm humans. Like, you think when a robot is programmed, especially something like this, like a humanoid robot, you think they can't hurt you.
Is it not more because we watch a lot of films where there's someone goes to the trouble of saying, and obviously Asimov's laws, but then they thought we were going to ruin the planet.
I've genuinely never thought that a robot can't kill a human. I mean, I've read it in a book and seen it in a film, but I've never thought it, because we're using frigging robots to fight our wars now.
Yeah, I think in a movie like this, where the conversation is about AI and sentience and all of that, it feels like this this links into that conversation about robots harming humans. I think this, to me, sits as a sister movie to iRobot, not iRobot. But you know what I mean? Yeah. Movies where it's sort of like, it's central. The laws of robotics are central. I just think it just needed something where it was like, yeah, I haven't bothered with that because she ain't coming out of that fucking hole.
Yeah.
Like, just something that addressed it, so it wasn't such, I wasn't spending that bit going, it's weird that he allowed her to have the ability to kill him.
Are you? It's an easy
fix. Just think,
you
if you're on a base.
I took it out because it would inhibit her ability to learn the same way that humans learn, because we don't have that.
Exactly. Something like that, just so, you know, you feel like, you know, when you're trapped on a base with robots, you know, you wouldn't want them to be able to fucking bash your head in.
No.
Right then, and that is that. Any more for any more?
No.
Great. It's time for the verdict.
Okay, great. I did it. These are my choices.
But you did it really quickly.
That's all right. It's all, it's a podcast. It's fine.
Okay.
Nikki can put in a pause. Yeah. Fine. Put in an advert. Whatever. I don't know. I don't know how these things work.
Nikki, don't put in an advert there. Thank you, Nikki.
The verdict is so gripping that no one will turn off.
I don't think it's the right place for an advert. Please stop producing the podcast while we're doing the podcast.
Also, there still hasn't been a pause.
No.
There you go.
Fantastic.
All right. So these were my choices this week. So I'm struggling a bit. I think it's quite equal, actually. So I'm not going to go first, and I'm going to make Chris go first.
Yeah, I'll go first, because I think you know which way I'm leaning. I don't really like Weird Science that much, but I do like the chaos in it. I enjoyed it much more this time when I was just thinking, wow, I just can't believe that film got made. I gave Ex Machina a good review when it came out.
9 out of 10, amazing score.
I still really like the film because I love the journey I've been on with it. Been on it with. I don't know. What am I saying?
The journey you've been on with it, yeah.
No, with journey been on it.
In the way that my opinions changed about it, my thoughts have changed about it, my loyalties have changed. And I might like it a little less now than I did then, especially having read around the subject a bit more, but I still think it's a really fascinating film. And so for that reason, Ex Machina is my winner.
Okay, okay. B?
You go. I honestly don't know yet, so you go.
Well, you go.
Me?
Yeah.
It's my week. I get to choose. You go.
Yeah, you've got to read the room sometimes.
Oh, no, sorry. I was looking at my water bottle.
Right. Why don't you go?
What did you pick?
Is that how you do it?
No, it's not how I do it. Okay, are you ready? So, as I've said at length, and it probably doesn't bear repeating, Alex Garland's stuff just makes me disproportionately cross, because it's really my sort of thing.
You might like men. It's got the soundtrack.
She doesn't like me.
Absolutely brilliant.
You've been paying attention the last 3 years.
When the score is brilliant. Men, 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 men.
Is that real?
Men, 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 men. It's great.
But it doesn't stick the landing, does it?
No, but the score. Watch it for the score. When you hear that kick in, you'll love it.
Okay. I like his direction in this. I think the visual style is really good. I think the dialogue is really good. But the ending just frustrates me. I wanted her to be the technological singularity, and I maybe needed that to be a bit more obvious that she was. So I'd be like, oh, watch out, humankind. Here she comes, kind of thing. And the thing, as I said before, these things are little fixes. It's not like, oh, fuck, I made this whole movie and now it's broken. It's like, it's just a script edit. It makes me furious. Anyway, but then Weird Science is just a very good sort of student film in some ways, because it's like the writing is so basic, but there are glimmers of the John Hughes genius in it, and again, some of the dialogue there. So this makes it means I'm not sure. the racism in Weird Science is an issue, and is that more of an issue than the whether or not I ascribe to this the sexism or the racism that may or may not be present in Ex Machina? I don't know. And so I'm just going to choose the one that I thought was the most fun, so it's Weird Science.
Ooh. Wow.
Go on, Al.
I mean, wow. I honestly thought this would be a 3-for-3 this week.
So did I. Yeah. I just, when we were talking about it, it was
you've
so
had
much
your vote.
Fun. All right, sorry, carry on.
So, it feels wrong to have a go at a movie called Weird Science for being too weird, but it was too weird for me. I enjoyed it, but I just wish I'd watched it 30 years ago. I didn't. Ex Machina is Alex Garland's best film. I think watched either as just a tight thriller or a think piece about AI. It works as either or both, and it's brilliant. I really, really like Ex Machina, and I've enjoyed it more on this second viewing than I did the first time. I think it's great to really pull it apart. So my vote goes for Ex Machina. We have a winner, and the winner is Ex Machina.
Yeah, got that.
I think that's right. I think that's a good winner.
2-1.
2-1. If you disagree with that and you'd like to see Weird Science crown champion, you can have a go on the poll. It's on our Twitter account at ClashPod is our Twitter address. Let's look ahead to next week. So I'll give a clue on Monday. The clue was mercenaries with morals. We are doing, and I say we, meaning Vicky and myself. Chris is away at Fantastic Fest in Austin. We're doing the losers versus the A-team. Your silence... makes
oh,
me
sorry.
Very...
Are we looking for
what,
a reaction?
Are you playing, like, solitaire?
Playing solitaire? No. No, sorry.
Are you excited about that?
You don't normally ask
have
me,
you
do
watched?
You?
I'm just interested, because Chris isn't here, so I thought I'd turn to you and just sort of... He's,
you know how needy he is.
I know, sorry. What on earth is going on? Don't want to look at me like
let's
that.
Let's talk about it next week.
Alex, I'm stoked.
Have you seen either of them?
No.
Oh, wow.
No, I mean, what, in my life?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh. You're going to have a blast watching them again. They're great.
Okay.
Alright, good. Okay, we'll be back on Monday with part one of that pairing as we talk the losers. Have a lovely weekend. Speak to you soon.
Clash of the Titles is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Anna Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. Why One Question Time is a Stack production.